So thank you so much for serving enthusiastically for the last week. I am so honored to be volunteering with you. And I look forward to the things that we do together as we nurture the faith of these young children among us. We can't do that perfectly, to be honest, right? But that's our heartbeat. Every volunteers, every parent, that's our heartbeat. We want to be a good example of faith for them, right? But children, we can't do it perfectly. We fail at times. We fail to keep our words. But I hope that you will feel our heartbeat. You will feel, and you know that we care about you. So again, I want to remind our volunteers, anybody who's working with children, I continue to advocate for the needs of our children, especially with their spiritual formation. Jesus' words in Matthew 18, 6 to 7 says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." I hope that you feel the seriousness of what Jesus is saying to us, that it's so important that these children will not be stumbled because of the things that we do. Right, children? Right? I hope we are doing, even if we fail, I hope you are, like I said, you know that our hearts is for you, okay? So thank you again, and I feel like I got the most difficult task this morning. Our teachers, thank you for an incredible job teaching those hard truths in our children. It's like saying, truth comes from God. God's plan is best. Everyone needs Jesus. The only way to heaven is Jesus. And the mandate is to speak this truth in love. So I think that would be it, right? Should I say more? You think? That's so heavy. That's a lot to take in. But let me wrap up our DVBS. So can I say this is our day six, children? And also for the volunteers who've been working, I hope you would listen to the lesson six of day six. And I said, and I entitled it with delighting in God's word. Or to say it another way, God's word, God's law, or God's truth is delightful. So I know that we know a lot about God's word. I'm not going to talk about that. But the first part, which says, delighting in God's word. Children, do you know what delight means? We don't use that word a lot, but that I think all of us, as we look at the word of God this morning, as it has been read to us, how are we delighting in God's word? How many of us love to read rules and regulations? How many of us read laws, agreement, when you sign a lease? How many of us, if you are hired to a new company, how many of us enthusiastically read the policies? Nobody? Are we on the same page there? Are we excited when they hand that book? Or we purchase a new appliances and there's that instructional manual? Do we read them? Right? When we ask to read those things, to know, to read, let alone love and delight in them. Do we? Do you like to read those rules? Teenagers hated rules. When mom says, no, you're not allowed, you stay home, you do this, you do that. We hated that. Oh, I can't wait until I'll be an adult and I leave this house. I'll do on my own. I'll do what makes me happy. Right? Whether we like it or not, or whether we realize this or not, what governs everything we do at work, at home, even in this church, at any organizations, even sporting events, there are rules to follow. Policies are set in place to have a standard to refer to when conflict arises. We have this to have order, right? But we naturally don't like restrictions, We want freedom. Look at our children. They learn how to say no before saying yes. Like, no, daddy, no. The toddlers, no. Is there, right? Children, no, I don't like the mommy. No, no vegetables, no, no. Teenagers, if you are giving them boundaries, they don't like it. I didn't like it too. Even today as an adult, sometimes like I want to do things freely. I don't want restrictions. I believe you know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this, right? We look at our world today, there is confusion everywhere. Who's right? The Israelites? The Palestinians? Are you pro-Palestinian? Are you pro? We don't know where we stand at times. Those big issues, right? Truth is relative, which means it changes. Or there's no like grounded truth. Opinion becomes truth, your own truth. So you're entitled to your opinion. But mind you, opinion are just opinion. There are bad opinions. They don't work out. Sometimes there are good opinions, but they are not truth. Oh, now I know the reason why I am. Like, where am I? My glasses. I'm getting old. Okay. Like I said, truth is relative. Opinion becomes truth. Your own truth. Things are being redefined these days. Marriage, family, womanhood, even beauty, power, gender especially, justice, mercy. It's being redefined these days. The world is so ready for our children and even us adults, mind you. It seems we too can be readily swayed by, we can readily compromise. As long as we are happy, we feel good, and we keep our cool. And sometimes we just silent. We are so scared to tell or express our faith or the truth that we know in the world today. So it's challenging. Our hearts are becoming calloused or thick. Because what is happening, I believe, everybody is saying it, doing it. So we become accustomed to, we become familiar that it doesn't bother us anymore. And I know you're I hope you're thinking in your head that, yeah, sometimes I'm like that because everybody's doing it. It's okay. Under time, call in sick, whatever you do, that everybody's doing it. So that's what's happening. The world system is so ready to allow anything. You're entitled to anything. It's so the children, the world is getting ready for them. So if they go out there, they can change whatever their gender is. They can change or they can do whatever they want. It's my opinion. They are even so confident with what they say. So there's no standard of truth, it seems. Do you agree? There's no standard for truth. And I think what's happening too is we forgot, we have forgotten, we have neglected God's word, or let me say God's law. And worse, we do not recognize that there is a God who established truth in the very beginning. God has established the truth. They sang it already, right? That truth comes from God. No other truth. There is a personal God who cares about you and me, and there's a God who cares for the world. So it was timely. It was a timely theme for ADVBS this year. God's truth never changes. In a more poetic rendering, as it was written in our shirt, God's rock-solid truth in the world of shifting sand. So the world is trying to mold us into its system. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that was our theme verse also for the entire week. So God has reminded me over the past few months as I begin to put together and study the material for this year's DVBS, he reminded me of my affection or of my love for his law or for his word. So many of us know God's word, the Bible. We even know the entire story of the Bible. But I would say, how about your love for that? How about, are you delighting in it? Or are you just knowing it? So, my concentration, or what I would love for us to see, is our attitude towards God's word, or our affection towards God's word, or how about our posture towards God's word? So let us look at the Psalm 119. Thank you for putting up the time. The longest chapter in the Bible. You know? Did you know, children? Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And it's just fitting that it is the longest chapter because there is so much to say about God's word or God's law. It's an acrostic psalm that follows the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a reflection and it's a prayer on God's law. So I want us to feel how the psalmist is expressing his affection, his love for God's law. Okay? So the psalmist expresses his love in God's law, and it's the theme of the entire chapter. It uses 8 synonyms for scripture, like, and it dominates the whole chapter. How many chapters in Psalm 119? But so let's see what's the word that's being used there. Statutes, truth, law, testimonies, ordinances, commandments, and precepts. And surely there are nuances to these words as they occur in the section of the song, but they belong together to contribute to our total understanding of what the scripture is. So law, or the Torah, which is what the psalmist is referring to when he expresses the word, the law, precepts, commandments, he's referring to that, which means it's the law and revelation. It is the chief term of all when he uses that. And it is heard most often in the entire psalm. But I will be using the term law and word interchangeably, but what I mean is God's word, because we already have the completed, canonized God's word in our time today. So again, as I said, we look at the word delight. Are we delighting in God's word? What it means to delight in God's word? What it means to delight is to what? To find joy. Everyone uses the word happy. Another meaning to delight is to be pleased greatly. You are pleased greatly. And I love one definition. You are extremely satisfied. And I wonder if you're extremely satisfied sitting there and listening, if the word of God is being read to you, if you're reading your Bible at home or however you do it. Are you delighting in God's word? How many of us can honestly say that we are growing in that direction? Are we falling in love? Are we growing in love and in depth for God's word? So three things I want us to see. Three things. I have 6 minutes to go over this one. Attitude. Number one, delighting in God's word involves our change of attitude. Let us see how the psalmist expresses this one. Oh, how I love your law. I delight in them. It is a repeated phrase in this psalm. Like, for example, in verse 16, it says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Psalms 34, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. See that? I shall delight for your commandments, which I love. Double. I delight, which I love. Oh, how I love your law. Do we read the Bible and say, oh my God, thank you. I love your law. I love what you said. Even if it's correcting you, it's rebuking you, you know, you should be delighting. We should be loving that because God is correcting us. The psalmist compared God's word. God's word is sweeter than honey. for all foodie people here, the best food you've ever tasted, God's word is even better than that. Secondly, loving God's commandments or his laws above gold, fine gold. Or in our day, we can call it loving God's commandment is better or way better than your wealth or money. Children, every time I ask you, what do you like? You know, money, immediately, all of them, most of them will say money. And they're thinking because money, you can do a lot about money. You will be happy if you have a lot of money. But what we see here is the psalmist is saying, God's word, God's commandments is way better than that. How many of us can say, I will forego this one as long as I will read the word of God? No, I think I can. Sometimes it's just hard choosing between spending time in the word than going for a business deal to close something or earn money. We can't honestly say that we are finding that time to spend in God's word, or our attitude towards God's word is that of the psalmist, that he is saying it's above that. Our love for word should be above our love for wealth and money. So, delight is the persistent theme. It compares the scripture with the riches it outshines. The God's word outshines those things. It is on God's account that we love the writings. We love the Bible that redeems him. Okay? So, what I would say, our attitude, we need to view God's law as his loving boundaries, not a legal requirement. Even the policies that we read, it is a boundaries, it's a loving boundaries, so that there should be an order, so that we can refer to when things arises, right? So we need to view God's law, God's truth, as his loving boundaries, even at the very beginning when he said he forbid to eat the fruit. That's his loving boundaries for Adam and Eve, so that he would have that relationship with them. Okay? So, teenagers in the room, I would like to tell you, you need to understand rules are for your own good. When we say, no, you're not allowed to, and sometimes we miss to mention why we say you're not allowed to, there are some reasons that sometimes it will just make sense later in life. So understand that when we say no, when we have restrictions, when your parents put some boundaries for you, it's for your own good. Second, so that's our attitude. Second is action. The do's. What do we do so that our love for God would move forward, would flourish? I just read a book, Desiring the Kingdom, written by a Christian philosopher and anthropologist. He is saying human beings are fundamentally lovers than thinkers. So if I would love the children to love God's word, we really need to get into the word and read together. Do that. Rather than for me talking about the Bible and this and this and that, but to really physically involve their senses, engage their senses, engage their eyes, their ears. So they need to listen to it, they read it. So we have those object lessons sometimes that will help them understand the truth in God's word. Like say, for example, I can talk to you about hockey, the sport, this sports hockey. I can put a nice presentation about hockey. But to bring you to a real hockey game, that's different, right? Your love for hockey game would grow exponentially. So that's what he is saying, that human beings are fundamentally lovers than thinkers. And I think I'm agreeing with that. So what are our actions that we see in Psalm 119? Number one is meditate. It's a repeated word again in the entire psalm. I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate on your wonders. I will meditate on your statutes. So one thing we do to grow our delighting in God's law or word is to meditate. I don't have to tell you how to meditate. You know that, right, children? You also know how to meditate? Think through deeply. And secondly, prayer. Let's see. The prayer of the psalmist is, Lord, teach me your ways. Every section of the chapter would talk about, teach me, Lord, your commandments. Teach me your statutes. Teach me to have good discernment and knowledge. So when we ask the Lord, like the psalmist, to teach us his word, what do we do?
we listen. And we don't just listen, we put a posture of be a learner. Because we ask God to teach us. So now we listen, now be a learner. See? Psalm 119, verses 71 and 73, it says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." So even afflictions are opportunities for us to learn God's law. It gives us and give me understanding that I may learn. So that's our second action. Pray to God to teach you His word and His commandments. And when we ask that, we should be ready to listen, put a posture as a learner. And lastly, we keep and observe. So keep and observe. What do we mean by that? We will not appreciate the value or the effect, and we cannot prove to be true unless tried. So what the word says, if we keep it, we observe it, we do it, then we agree that it is good. So it involves your keeping or observing God's law or God's word. This involves deep loyalty to God. If you're loyal to a person, you do these things, right? It implies that interacting with God's ways and His word is transformative. It's an idea that is present throughout the rest of the psalm. Verse 9, for example, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" How can a young man, specifically young man, "by keeping it according to your word." Verse 44, "I will keep your law continually." Or in verse 56, it says, "It has become mine that I observe your precepts." So those are our, now first we talked about our attitude. Secondly, our actions. Meditate, we pray that the Lord will teach us. Observe and keep God's law. Lastly, results. What would be the results if we do these things? Or the outcome or the benefit of God's word. Number one, happiness. This is an overrated. I think do what makes you happy. But what truly makes you happy? What truly makes a person happy? So the psalm actually started with by saying how blessed or happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. What does that mean? Blessed are you if you walk in the ways of the Lord because you will be blameless. Walang pwedeng, oh sorry, my mother tongue is coming into my head. They cannot accuse you of anything. So this is not talking about perfection. But if you do something wrong and you apologize, can they still blame you? Right? They can still blame you. So that's what it means to be blameless. If we are walking the ways of the Lord, we will become blameless. This is not about perfection, but walking in integrity and honesty. So those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him, they would walk in His ways. And the psalmist says, you are blessed. You are happy if you are that person. Second benefit, wisdom and understanding. Let's see this one. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insights than all my teachers." Don't you like that? You will have more understanding, more discernment than all my teachers. You gain perspective on matters or things in life. That's that we read that in verse 98 to 100. "I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from evil ways that I may keep your word." And when you do that third, righteous, you live a righteous life. And that's attractive to non-believers if you're living a righteous life. Lastly, freedom. And this is kind of a paradox because where God is a master, service is perfect freedom. Only then we can be truly free when God is the master. "Those who love your law," it says in verse 165, "those who love your law have great peace. and nothing caused them to stumble. If we obey and keep and observe God's law, I think we would be truly be free, correct? So in conclusion, yes, I'm done. This is what I'm going to say. All generations are shaped by the events, experiences, and the political climate of their time. And this creates profound differences across generations. So we have the boomers here, we have the Gen X, millennials, Generation Alphas are in our midst today. But we have the same problem, even if they say we haven't had the challenge before with the gender issue or racism, all that. It's not that heightened, right? So in each generation, there is some social issues that's kind of like the challenge. But we have the same problem. And what's the problem? We are broken, depraved human beings. We are sinners, we are wicked people, the same thing. It's manifesting differently across generation and even individually. But the problem is a human heart. And I remember Pastor keeps saying that it's a heart issue. The world is redefining marriages and families and gender and identity. Our job, our identity is even based on what we do. But God's word never changed. What he says about these things remains. What he says about gender, what he says about family, what he says about leaders, it remains. So as believers in Christ, our challenge, like our theme verse says, be not conformed to the pattern or system in this world. To speak the truth in love. Our method may change, but our message is the same. And our message is not an idea. Our message is a person, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole truth. Our children have said that only Jesus can transform. God who loves you and me, God who cares for you, he sent his son to offer us the gift of salvation. And in him alone, we can have eternal life. And we know the end of the story. As Christians, we know the end of the story. But until we value God's word, until we have that delighting in his word attitude, we cannot speak truthfully and boldly if our love or if our delight in God's word is not there. Unless God's word or God's story is known, understood, owned, and lived, we and our children will not have the Christian faith. We will never have the Christian faith. And that's what we endeavor to do in our ministry, is to help children know, understand, and model a life of faith for them. I will read some of few verses to wrap up. In verses 151 to 152, it says, "All your commandments are truth. Of old, I have known your testimonies, that you have founded them forever. Non-negotiable. God's law is truth, and it's everlasting. It's timeless. It's applicable to every generation, regardless of what we say or what the manifestation of this wickedness and depravity in our generation. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." So children, don't say we are old-fashioned, or don't say, oh, it's that time. No, God's word is timeless. It applies in every culture, in every families, in every generation, in every family. May our love for God's word grow deeply. May we teach our children diligently so that they will be so rooted, imagine that whenever they drift away, they cannot actually drift so far. They are so rooted, they know it. So it's harder for them to go. Can you picture that in your mind? And my prayer is that may we all say that your law, God's law, is my delight. And lastly, Psalm 19:10 says it perfectly. They are more desirable than gold, than much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. May that word sink into our hearts today. Children, know God's word. Love it so that you will build your life upon it. It's the rock solid truth, and you can do better than us. So hopefully everybody is inspired to check ourselves and reflect on how am I growing in our love for God's word? Am I delighting in it? And if I'm delighting in it, am I treating it way more than riches and money or whatever you deem very important and very valuable for you? So thank you very much for this time that you have given me. I hope I have encouraged you with God's word. Go back and read Psalm 119. You can appreciate how the psalmist has expresses that. And hopefully all of us will grow together in our delighting in God's word. Thank you.
It wouldn't be right for me to end the service without issuing a challenge, especially to their parents. I'm sure you're happy what you heard and what you saw with the kids. Hopefully you got the message of the whole week summarized by Sister Wilma and the importance of knowing God's word. And I just want to put that closer to reality, okay? The main verse that they were using was Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word conformed in Greek is the word systematizo. That's where we get our word, English word, schematics from. You know what a schematic is? Anybody here know what a schematic is? It's a drawing that has instructions on how to build something. And so what Paul is saying is do not be conformed, do not be shaped by the system of this world. Don't be fashioned into what the world is trying to mold people into. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but our world has changed. I was born in 1970. back then, we don't have to worry about the things that we worry now for our kids. But now it's out there. Let me give you an example. Did you guys watch the opening ceremony for the Summer Olympics? Did you guys watch the very, very beginning? They had this little play at the beginning that kind of mocked the Last Supper, where they had the big table. It was supposed to be the Last Supper. They had a woman playing Jesus and a bunch of drag queens as the apostles. I just want you to see how real this is, and I just want to put some more urgency on what Sister Wilma preached. That's what's happening in our world today. They're molding kids to see that as norm. One more. The ABCs we heard, it was sung, right? A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. C, confess, right? Confess the Lord as Savior. Look at what they're teaching in schools. They have ABCs in schools as well, but it's not the ABCs that we grew up to learn. It's called the Gay BCs now. I mentioned this, and it's a children's book. It's for toddlers. Let me give it to you their ABCs. A is for ally, a friend who is there to stand up for you with strength, love, and care. Sounds good? A is for ally, right? B is for bi, B-I. B is for bi, you can shout it out loud. I like boys and girls, and that makes me proud. B. C is for coming out. You're ready to share what you feel deep inside. It's okay to be scared. And you can just imagine the rest. D, E, F, G, H. This is what's being taught. This is the schematics that is being taught in the world today. Let's zoom into our own homes. Because this is the problem with DVBS. And I said this last year. It should be just DBS. Instead of Daily Vacation Bible School, it should be Daily Bible School. It should be taught at home, is my point. Because what's happening is we teach kids here the truth about God, God's word, God's plan is best, Jesus is the only way. And then they get home and everything gets erased. And then something else is taught, whether it be a focus on sports, a focus on career, a focus on whatever it is. This foundational teaching that we teach gets erased. That's why it has to be DBS, Daily Bible School. And you can't teach what you don't know, parents. Agree? You can't teach what you don't know. So we encourage you, learn your Bible. That was the whole message is about learning your Bible. And it goes above that into delighting in it. How do you delight in the Word if you don't know the God of the Word? So I encourage you to do that. But I want to give you hope as well, not just a challenge. Romans 1, 16 and 17, what does it say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation, both to the Greeks and to the Jew first, then to the Greeks. For in it, the righteousness of God can be found. From faith for faith. For the righteous shall live by faith. There is hope. Yeah, a lot of us here, if we're being honest, we don't delight in the Bible. We don't even read it. Yeah, if I hands up, who reads their Bible every day? Some of you might. Hands up, who delights in reading their Bible every day? But is it hopeless? No, because the Bible is power for salvation. If you don't have the delight, ask God for it. If you don't have the joy in reading your Bible, ask God for it. If you're not satisfied, is that what the word you use? Deeply satisfied with it, ask God for it. And then once God works, you teach it to your children because we're in a real battle with the world right now. And it can't be just us fighting. We all have to fight together. Amen? Amen.
The Lord bless you and countenance upon you
and give you peace.
The Lord make His face to shine upon you
and be gracious unto you.
The Lord be gracious unto you.